If I prayed, you know, this stuff happened to Joseph, never happens to any of us. But understand, he could have been so far down that it would have been over. What was he to hope for? Except for one thing. One thing, and anybody know what that is? God. Joseph knew God. Joseph loved God. Joseph depended on God. Joseph had hope in who? Hallelujah. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. So he gets captured and he's there. But his character is pure. He stands upright. He's at peace. He knows that he has God. He has this faith. He has this character of somebody who believes that there's something better yet to come. That hope is going to sustain him. You're looking at a lot of young fellows here with that same character. Can I have an amen? I want you to know that they're having the same character at this joke. They're being raised with that character. These men here who watch over these young men and are training them, they give the greatest gift they ever have in life. They give their time to raise these men. I think we should give these men two praise. Hallelujah. I think we should. Randy reminds me when we talked that how faithful they are, how true in the Bible they are. And you're right. And you're raising character. You're raising these men to be Joseph. You all have a chance to be Joseph. If you have faith in God and you stand on that faith and you stand on that hope, things in your life will change. And you know what happened to Joseph? Oh, no, he's a slave. But he finds favor with the man who he's indebted to, the man who has control over all his life. The man says, I like him. He's a foreigner. Joseph's a foreigner in another land. And this man says, I like him. I see something in him. I see something in him that's special. I want to raise him up. Who's doing that? God is doing that because he is finding favor with the person that has him captive now. And he's finding favor. Why? Because of his character, because of the person he is. He could have been down in the dumps. He could have been complaining. He could have been kicking rocks and yelling and screaming. But no, he had faith in who? God. And what is faith? Hope. That's the difference. People don't understand faith. What do you mean by faith? I have hope. I have dreams in my life. I have an ambition in my life. I have dreams to do things. Like when I was their age and I wanted to play guitar, I wanted to be on TV and play. That was the start of my whole life. Those dreams, you all have them. I have hope. And he saw this character. He saw the character of Joseph, and Joseph found favor in his sight. And let me tell you something. When you find favor with people and you realize that it's God, whether it be with your teacher or your boss or where you work, anywhere, you find favor. All of a sudden, somebody's being nice to you. You don't know why. You say, that's favor from God. Somebody you never met before sees you and says, you're a handsome young man, and I like the way you look and the way you smile. I can trust you. That's what these men are teaching everybody when you're vows. Trust. I admire these guys so much. I can't even tell you from my heart. I just admire what they do for these young men. They raise the new generation each and every year, and wish we can get more of the scouts and more people involved in this, because it changes their life, and it changes with the starts with these men here who are raising them. Can we give them a hand again? I'm just so happy with them. You have no idea, Randy, what I think of you. I just, you know, I've wanted to be a pastor for many years. Took a lot of work. It took a lot of reading. Took a lot of sacrifice. Took a lot of devotion to God. I removed everything from my life and turned to the Bible. But it took God to reward me. And I see what you do every day. And I look at you, and you're no different than a pastor and a reverend. All you men are no different. You're leaders. You're leaders of young men. The greatest gift you can give is to mold these men with the character of Joseph. Thank you. I get so excited when these guys are here. So Joseph's finding favor. When you realize that you met somebody, you don't even know why they like you, then you realize it's your character. It's how you present yourself, how you look, how you act. If somebody asks you to do something, what do? You do it. Somebody asked you to help, what do? You do it. You help them. You see, that's the character that Joseph had. He could have been kicking rocks and yelling and screaming, but he said, no, I have hope that God will help me. Hallelujah. And then this guy, Potiphar, his wife sees Joseph. She likes him. She likes him. So she calls Joseph to his chamber. And she said, I like you. I want to spend time with you. And he said, no, it is not right. Your husband has treated me like a son, like a family. He's raised me up. And I will not defile that. I will not do that. And guess what she does? She steals his tunic, the robe that he's wearing, and she steals it. And when Joseph runs away, and she calls the guards, and she said, this man has come here, and he's tried to put himself with me. And she has him put in prison. Are you kidding me? She has him. She lies to Potiphar, and he puts him in prison. Anybody ever been in prison? Never mind. That's a parable question. I didn't know they will. He's put in prison. In a dungeon. And why? For nothing. Now, he's mad now, amen? You can bet that he's screaming and shaking the bars and saying, let me out. How many would be doing that? He lied on me. No. The Bible story continues. Are you ready? He finds favor with the guards. Are you kidding me? They like him. They look at this man. They said, I like him. He finds favor with the guards in the prison, and he gets lifted up in prison. He gets, you know, it just feels like they help him. They talk to him. That's amazing when God does it in your life. When you feel like everything is coming on you, you just say, I got faith. I got faith. I got hope that this is going to come out for the better. And the more you do that in your life, the better your life's going to be. And the people around you, your husband, your wife, there's nothing that you're fighting about that God can't fix. Let me say that again. There's nothing you're fighting about that God can't fix if you let him. Hallelujah. So he finds favor in prison. And then for some reason, the king's wine bearer, the cupbearer, everybody know where the king's cupbearer is? He stands there. And if the king wants something, he's got to bring it to him, bringing it. Well, he got himself in a little trouble, and guess where he ends up? In prison. And guess who he's with? Joseph, in prison. Well, this guy and the baker, I don't know, the baker gets in prison too. So they both have these dreams, and they have these awful dreams that they didn't understand. So they go to Joseph, and Joseph said, tell me your dream. Because Joseph's got the spirit of God in him. Joseph's a smart man, a beautiful man. He loves God. He's got the spirit in him to talk about the interpretation of the dreams. So he tells them both the interpretation. One liked it and one didn't. If you read it, you'll understand why. But the cupbearer, he said, you're going to be free in 3 days, and you're going to be with the king again. Oh, that's wonderful. And in 3 days, guess where he is? With the king again. But Joseph says to him, are you ready? Please, when you go back to the king, remember me down here. Remember what I did for you. Please, see, he said, remember me. So the cupbearer goes up and gets with the king. Did he remember Joseph? No. He was too happy. There was nothing. So he forgets about Joseph. Now Joseph's in prison, now shaking the bars. Nope. He's standing faithful. Faithful to who? So he's not shaking the bars. And all of a sudden, God is so good. The king has a dream that's very disturbing to him. And he's walking around, and everybody ever have a bad dream that you wake up and you feel disturbed? You know, it's not like a bad dream, but he had this dream, and he didn't understand it. And the cupbearer says, well, God bless you. The cupbearer says, wait a minute. I remember that guy in prison. I forgot, but I remember. He told me about a dream, so bring him up. Maybe he could tell you the dream. So the king brings Joseph up. And he interprets the dream for the king. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what he did, how he did it, how God did that? And let me talk to you about something for a second, if I may. It's called depression. Anybody ever hear about depression? Anybody here ever depressed before? Anybody? You're saying, Pastor, you bet you I've been depressed. Hallelujah. Of course I've been depressed. It's an emotion that we all feel. I don't stay depressed. Because I'm just a man. I'm a man reading the book of God, but of course I get depressed. We all get, depression is real. Everybody goes, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter how much money you have, because money can't cure depression. It doesn't matter how much fame and fortune you have. It doesn't change anything. People get depressed. I'm just flesh and blood. I have to be honest. I get depressed. You see, a Christian means simply that I know I need God. That's why I'm a Christian. I became a Christian because I know I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't make this happen by myself, so I needed God. That's what made me a Christian, because I turned to who? Jesus. I turned to Christ. I became Christ-like. Did I become perfect?
No.
Boy, they're quick with that one, ain't they? In front of all these people, they jumped all over that one. No, and nobody's supposed to be perfect. But depression is real. If you read this story, you say Joseph had every reason to be depressed. Every reason. You all think sometimes that whatever it is you're going, it's not like, you know, losing the Super Bowl, your team, or the Yankees and Red Sox. And it's not that kind of depression. I'm talking about where you feel like you've lost all what? Hope. Now you're catching on. And what is faith? The substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. As long as you have God and you have faith, as long as you have God in your life and you have faith and you have knowledge of this book and the promises, you have what? Hope. As long as you have hope, you have a chance for tomorrow. And if you have that hope, sure, we get depressed sometimes. Sure, sometimes things come against you when you can't afford something, you can't get what you want, or you didn't win at a prize. You tried to be something and you win it. Let me tell you about losing. Anybody? Let me tell you about losing. Hallelujah. Being a Christian means we know that we need God's help. We need God's leaning. Joseph's character. When you realize you are finding favor from God, it changes you forever. If you can learn from your mistakes, learn that losing can inspire you to be better, that I want this and I'll work harder, you will succeed. See, God doesn't say you're going to win in everything. He said, I'm going to be with you through it all. So when you lose at something, when you want something so bad and you didn't quite make it, you have two choices, to give up or say, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do it the second time, the third time, until I achieve that. That's called life. It's going to happen to you in life. Husbands, wives, children, and fathers, and mothers. If you just talk about these things, you talk things out, things can be changed. You see, as long as you have what? Hope. And what is hope? Faith. And you tell me that faith can cure depression? Absolutely. I believe it. You might think I'm crazy, and I am. I'm nuts for God. I'm crazy in this Bible. But I believe that depression can be cured as long as you have hope. And I tell you that again. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't give you that. It doesn't remove any of the depression. Sometimes people get money and they worry more. Did you ever get that? You all of a sudden you got all this money. You think somebody's going to steal it. You put that money in your pocket and you're walking down the street. I hope nobody steals it. What happened? The money's supposed to give you peace. No. But God, the love of God, the faith in God cures the depression, because you can't stay depressed if you have what? Hope. Husbands and wives, talk about things. Fathers and sons, daughters and fathers and mothers, talk about things. Say, I have hope. Let's talk about where the hope lies. This man, Joseph, this story of Joseph's all about that. At every turn, he could have given up and had depression, but at every turn, he had character. The same character you see in these young men sitting right here. I see it in them. As great as they want to be, they have hope for that. And even in your lives, I don't care what your age is, if you have hope for something, for your children, and you want to see it, for your friends, for your family, you continue to hope. You have something to gain, something to go for, something to grab onto, as long as your hope is in God. Don't ever put your hope in man. Let me say that again. Don't ever put your hope in man. Your hope should be in God. And then when things don't come to you, don't say things aren't fair. That's not going to help you. Don't get down, get up. Say, it didn't work this time. I'm going to try it the second time and the third time. Hallelujah. If you can learn from losing. I love this story. Anybody ever hear a man named Michael Jordan? I know you kids are young. It makes me. I asked somebody, Randy, recently if they ever heard of the Beatles, and they said no. Boy, did I just felt like my dad again. You all know that Michael Jordan didn't make his high school basketball team? He was cut? Michael Jordan! You see, it's just, you didn't know that? sometimes losing something at a game or losing something that you wanted, maybe it wasn't what God wanted for you. And if you start thinking about that, it may be the thing that you wanted so much wasn't exactly what God wanted for you, so he put a roadblock up so that you would stop for a second and put your faith back in who? God, so he can lead you down the path to where he thinks, where your heart is. Because we read it on Sundays. God says, I know your thoughts are not my thoughts for you. I have higher thoughts for you than you have for yourself. If God tells you that, wouldn't you rather have his thoughts for you or your thoughts? Amen? So this Joseph, his brothers hated him. And they sold him into slavery. And then they lied to their father. And they must have hated their father for what they did to him. But they didn't. But they didn't realize what that hate would do. And he gets captured. And he gets taken to a place that's not even his home, in a foreign land. And he has hope. He has faith in God. And God raises him up. The people see him. They see his character. They see your character every day when you go to the restaurant, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to work. Oh my God. Some of these people go to work and they're so grumpy when they get to work. They wonder why nobody wants to talk to them, because they're grumpy, talking about all their problems and this and that, instead of saying, how you doing? Good to see you. Let's have a good day. Or go talk to their boss in a way that would lift them up. Lift up your boss. Have that character saying, you know what? I'm not really happy about what's going on here, but I'm going to continue to work my... I'm not making enough money here, but I'm going to work harder here so that people see how hard I work, see my character, so somebody will see it and they'll raise me up and I'll get a better job with more money. They'll see the goals are different, see? They don't get depressed because nobody's going to be around that. Everybody's going to pull away from that. You gain nothing. But when you have hope in God, when your faith is so strong that your character shows it, when people can see that, the people in the restaurant should see that you're a Christian. I'm sorry, I believe that. The people in the grocery store should see that you're a Christian by your smile, by saying thank you, by giving them things that the world's not giving them. You understand what I mean, amen? How many know there's a lot of anger in the world today? Anybody turn the TV on for 5 minutes, you're going to hear people yelling at other people, giving all their opinions and who's bad and who's good. I think God is good. That's all I need. Because those things don't really affect my life. So people hate things that don't even affect their life. That's how crazy hate is. You hate people you're never going to meet, never going to see. How can that be? How can you hate somebody you don't know unless somebody else is feeding you the hate? That's when you stand up and say, no, I'm a child of God. I don't hate anybody. I might not agree with them. Anybody here ever disagree with anybody else? Anybody ever have an opinion different than anybody else? Anybody here ever been wrong? Not just about when you were wrong. Not when you disagreed you weren't wrong. I was right about that. Amen? Right? Yeah, I was wrong, but not about that. I might be. Yet we continue to feed ourselves all that instead of feeding ourselves God. You imagine that everybody should know that you're a Christian. That should make you say, is he crazy? Or let me think about that. Now, the end of this story, brothers and sisters, is way too long to go. But if you want to read it, it starts in Genesis 37. Joseph sold into slavery. And at the end of this story, because of the position that God put Joseph in, because of what the king did to Joseph, lift him up, the place in Egypt that he was second to the ruler. The king of Egypt told Joseph that you can have everything in my kingdom, everything except my seat. In other words, you can't be king, but you can have control of everything else. Imagine that, because of his character. Because the king saw that whatever Joseph put his hands to got blessed. That when he got blessed, everybody got blessed. That's what the Bible says. But at the end of the story, because of the famine that came on Egypt, Joseph's family had to go to Egypt to get food. So they all went together to get food. They thought that their brother was what? Dead. So they go to Egypt and they see this man giving out the food to all the people, portions of the food, people coming for food, and Egypt's feeding them. And guess who is there? Joseph. And he sees his brothers. He recognizes his brothers, but do they recognize him? No, they don't. They don't even recognize their own brother. Boy, he didn't give him anything either. He kicked him out. He said, now you have what you did to me? Are you kidding me? What you did to me back then? I kicked you. You ain't getting any food. Get out of here. He didn't do that. You know that though, right? Well, He could have. I'm sure some of us would want you to think, oh, get out of here after what you did to me. He said to his brothers, I love you. You read the end of that book and you don't cry, you don't have emotion. They should make a movie on that, because that emotion is so powerful when he sees his brothers and when he finally reveals to his brothers who he is. First they're scared. They think, what's he going to do to us? And he said, no. You think what you did to me was bad, but everything you did to me, God used. I could never be here in Egypt now if you didn't sell me into that slavery. I couldn't be the man I am today if you didn't do what you did. See, God had a plan in my life, he's telling them. And because of what you did, God was able to lift me up that I could be here in Egypt, giving you food. And then, the end of the story, he says, he tells them to go home. He says, is my father still alive? And they say, yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. And he says, go bring my father. And they go and get his father. Thank you, Lord. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept in his neck a good long while. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive. I'm telling you, if you just read that and understand that all he wanted to know was that his son was all right. He said, let me die in that peace, in that joy of knowing that you're still alive. What a beautiful story. And then his brothers worried that he's going to retaliate against them. He said, when the father dies, he's surely going to put us out. And he says, no, you're my brothers. Because what you did, because of the choices that you made, even though they weren't good for me then, brought me here because God was in control. And Joseph let God be in control. Joseph did not fight. He did not be in depression. He did not cry. He did not shake the bars. He said, I have faith. I have hope. And that hope sustains me. That hope keeps me from all that would have come against me. He would not let hate control his life. Again, remember that hate. When you see people hating each other, you need to pray for them. I don't care if you like them or don't like them, because that hate's going to destroy all of us. Hate doesn't work. Love works. And at the end of this story, when you read how Joseph felt when he saw his brothers, and in his heart he rejoiced. Those were his brothers. They never stopped being his brothers. And he, this is a great word, he forgave them their trespasses. Amen? What did he do? He forgave them. He forgave them for all that they did. And I pray that there's nothing like that in your life, that people did that you have to forgive, because forgiveness is easy. Just say, I forgive you, and let it go. That's forgiveness. And then have faith in God, saying, you know what? If I forgive today, something great might happen this afternoon, because I'm changing it. I'm putting it in God's hands. And that's what he did. He forgave them. He forgave them for everything they did because he loved them. And somebody read that in the scriptures this morning. Love is the greatest gift from God. And the Bible says love never fails. So I'm telling these young men of character, you guys got it. You understand that. Let it shine. Let your smile shine. Let everything you have shine. Be the man that these men are raising you to be, and you will have good success, because they're showing you the light. They're showing you the way. And I'll tell you one more thing. You will never forget them. My first grade teacher, I went to school, like in grade, New Irving School. My first grade teacher, I remember to this day, she was my favorite teacher. I was so blessed to have her in second grade because she moved on. So I'm telling you that because you will never forget these men. When you're 50 years old and you got children, you're going to tell them about these men because of the great things in that your character. And your children will see your character. And your friends and your family today will see. You might have somebody in school that you don't agree with. Then let it be strong. Let your faith be strong. Let your character shine. That will win you. You'll find favor with teachers. You'll find favor with your boss. You'll find favor with people at the grocery store. You'll find favor with people at the bank. Hallelujah. That's God. Let that light shine in front of you and have the character of Joseph and watch what God can do in your life. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I love to hear laughter in church. I know when I was growing up, brothers and sisters, my mother took me to St. Mary's. Anybody ever been at St. Mary's Church in Derby? I love that church. I love the look. I love the feel. But when I was a young man, they spoke in Latin. Randy, I didn't understand the word. I'm sorry. And they made all these things, and it's so beautiful. And I made my mom happy that I went to church with them. But it's just, I love to hear laughter in church. I think we should have more joy in church. Fellas, I think you should just enjoy church. You should hear a story like that every day. Every Sunday, there should be a story that touches your life. Each and every one of you, from 15 to 85, there's something in that story should touch your life. Just make you think about something you're going through. Every Sunday, every Bible study, we're going to have a Bible study Tuesday at 7 o'clock downstairs. I pray that it touches your life. It moves you. This book is so beautiful, with stories so beautiful. That was Genesis 37. Go back and read about Joseph and his family and his father. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by hope. Psalm 27 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the land in the land of the living. He said, I would have given up. Psalm 42 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. There's health in this Bible. It's called faith. There's joy in this Bible. It's called hope. There's peace in this Bible. It's called Jesus. Your body can heal when you're at peace. Let me say that again. Your body can heal when you're at peace. When you have that peace that surpasses understanding, your body, see, you start to stand straighter. The muscles start to relax. All those tensions in your body, all those things in your body causing you pain, start to ease when you have faith. When things are coming against you and you have the character of these young men, you don't get down. You look up. You say, God, I don't like this situation. God, I don't like what's happening here, but help me. Show me. I'll stand with you and I'll walk with you. I won't get mad. I won't hate. I won't be jealous. I'll love and I'll forgive. And that will change you. It'll change your husband. It'll change your wife. It'll change your home. And again, one more time, people should know that you're a Christian when they see you by your smile, by your joy, by your peace, by your just quietness of being kind. Your kindness from Christ changes all of us. The people that you're going to meet every day, I pray that you receive this message in Jesus' name. Give him praise. Good morning, church. I pray for things coming against you and your families and your friends. I pray that you see God more. I pray that this morning you heard something that makes you want to read the Bible a little bit more and go back and look at that story. Read it for yourself and see the ending, how glorious it is. One of the greatest stories in the Bible of forgiveness and compassion and story of love and the greatest story of faith, where Joseph could have given up each and every time, but he didn't. He had faith. He had hope in God. Yes, your faith heals you because your faith is hope in God. You don't be caught in a place where you don't know. God has got you. He knows it all. He knows it. He just loves you. And he wants you to see that faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have a Bible study Tuesday night, 7 o'clock downstairs. You're all invited. Hallelujah. If you all want to come, the doors are open. There's no admission charge. And we don't take an offering. We just want you to come and read the Bible with us. And speaking of offering, would you all stand as we take the offering at Second Congregational? Says to be a cheerful giver. He says when you give, it shall be given back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It means he's going to give you much more back. It takes faith to give. In this church, we believe that you should be a cheerful giver. We don't take the offering. We ask you to give the offering to the God. But know when you put something to God, you place yourself in a place to receive. You place yourself in a place to receive grace. Each and every time, you become part of the church that you gave to. When you drive by this church later, you're going to say, I gave to that church. I helped sustain that church. I am part of that church today. I can be part of it tomorrow and the day after. God knows you're giving and sees you're giving. We believe that giving should be freely done from you to God. So we take this offering at Second Congregational and we ask God to multiply it. We ask God to do the impossible with this offering, sustaining this church so we can preach His word, tell stories about Joseph, talk about faith, talk about compassion, talk about forgiveness, talk about character. In Jesus' name, we can share the word together each and every Sunday that we're together here, making God's word come alive in Derby, Connecticut, right here. In Jesus' name, Lord, take this offering and thank the givers. Hallelujah. Would you take that, young fella, and put it, Deacon, thank you for me. Thank you. I hope some of you think that this was the quickest hour and 15 minutes of church that you ever had.